Yay.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flowed like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights, huh, and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Go rush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit the bullseye. The kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast, where we discuss the Fox show Glee, episode number 18, I think. 17 or 18. And,
Okay, there's the 13 episodes, and this is the fourth episode. This is number 17.
Okay, 17 bad it is. Sounds good to me. Welcome. We're back to discuss the Glee episode Bad Reputation. Actually, no, it's episode 20, because last episode was episode 19. So there you go.
No, no way. Is it really?
It is.
Are you sure?
It is. So welcome. We're going to discuss the Glee episode Bad Reputation, and we're going to go ahead and listen
to... It's 17. I just checked it.
We're going to listen to some songs. We'll move on. Listen to some songs from the show, and we will give away some contest winners. So get excited about that. Ed, at the end of the show, is going to name the winners of the contest. So we'll know who those people are. So thank you for all the entries. We got a lot more entries than any of us were expecting. So that's kind of exciting.
Some of them, it was difficult. Like, I got it down to like 12, and then I was like, oh, now it gets serious. It's like American Idol week. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know if I can compare it to American Idol. But anyway, maybe this season. No, that's mean to the listeners. Jennifer just gave me the grimace. But we want to thank everybody who's emailed us and stuck around after the last show. And I had something else kind of fun to say off the top of the show, but now I don't remember what it is. So the theme this week was bad reputation, and we opened up here with Ice Ice Baby, which is Mr. Schuster's second attempt at rapping during the show.
Is it just his second? I feel like it's been so many more times already.
I believe it's just his second because he did
this one.
There's
Gold Digger, and then there was Poison, and then this. I think this is his third.
What, so are we counting Poison as rapping with the acapellas? What do you think, Jennifer?
Yes, I would.
Oh, I don't... It's not an obvious rap song to me, so...
So
yeah, I'm not really...
So the argument here, Mr. Schuster's argument for these being bad reputation songs, is that they're actually good songs. They just got a bad reputation in the moment. I don't know what to make of that, personally. I don't know if I could call Ice Ice Baby a good song. I mean, I can say it's catchy.
They still play that. When I was going to high school, they still played that at our dances. So I always thought it was a fun song. So I don't know what I don't know what Schuster's talking about. It has a good reputation.
What, how do you feel about the bad reputation, Jennifer?
I think a lot of it has to do more with the artist. I think if he had probably gone on to do more successful stuff, he'd be more forgiven for, you know, a first attempt like this. But I mean, I still think it's a fun song. Everybody knows the song. Everybody sings along to it. Everybody moves along. Don't, you know. They can't deny that.
It's very true. That song came out when I was in high school, and it was when I was in high school. You couldn't go about 5 feet without hearing Ice Ice Baby. It was uncomfortable. I wasn't high school. It was middle school.
I was gonna say. It didn't come out when you were in high school.
I was in junior high, but I remember that the song would get into my head, and I hated the song so much that I would change the lyrics in my head as like my own personal insult.
Were you conflicted? Did you want to cut your hair like his?
Oh God, no, no. At the time I hated rap music, and so I had a big problem with that. And I've always hated everything they played on the radio, just as a general matter, of course. Even when I was a young man.
All right, that's another show.
But we'll have to, you know, the question is for you guys, and if you don't have one now, think about it for the end of the show, but what Bad Reputation songs would you want to save? Songs that have a bad reputation that you think, you know, just need another shot. Ed, can you think of anything?
I just keep going through my iTunes playlist, and I don't feel like any of these are worthy of Bad Reputation.
But do they have them? I mean, that's the thing.
I don't, like you Simpson do have a Ashley Simpson reputation, thing. And I have all of her albums. So I personally find her a decent artist. So
Jennifer,
I'm gonna have to think about this. I know before we did a show for our Idol podcast about guilty pleasure songs, and I know they're slightly different, Ed, but I kind of put them together in there. So I have to think about it.
Yeah, I guess part of it is trying to define like what gives it a bad reputation, because I'm sure, Ed, you've picked up on it if you've watched our other show, and Jennifer sure knows that I have this deep-rooted love for Jim Steinman, who wrote all of the music for Meatloaf and also wrote Total Eclipse of the Heart from this show, episode
of Glee. Total Eclipse of the Heart is like my anthem sometimes, I'm not gonna lie.
But I don't know why that one has a bad reputation.
Exactly. I could pick other Steinman songs that have a much worse reputation, but I wouldn't say Total Eclipse of the Heart. Maybe Making Love Out of Nothing at All would be like one song that I think is a great song.
Has a bad reputation, but maybe just because I'm obsessed with Idol, Against All Odds, I Never Need to Hear It Again, for real. For real.
But you're saying it has a bad reputation that it deserves, is the comment you're making.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it deserves. Well, it's a good song. I mean, there was a time when I was, take a look at me now.
See, I would disagree, though, because I think that that's a great song that's just gotten overdone, you know, been done so many, especially if you watch Idol.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially the Idol performances of it. I think that gave it a bad reputation. Not the song itself.
Not the original version itself. I don't know.
It's Phil Collins when he was awesome.
And it was a great movie. And it was Jeff Bridges. Come on.
I mean, maybe it's just coming from the time I grew up in and the parents that I had, but I would pretty much put anything that John Denver ever wrote as having a bad reputation and yet being awesome, because he gets so much flack.
I would see, you know what song I really like that I probably shouldn't like? Well, I don't really care what people think, so whatever. I do like See You Again by Miley Cyrus. I admit it.
I don't know that one. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the show. You know, Bad Reputation was interpreted in all of these different ways, and I guess the most significant way we got was with the GLIST, which was ranking all of the individual members of the Glee Club for their bad reputations. And we actually had a listener, listener Junbi actually sent us a copy of the GLIST and who was on it, with Quinn at the top with 44 points on the GLIST.
I thought Santana was on top.
No, Quinn was with 45, and Rachel was on the bottom with -5. So I think at that point, Jennifer, you said, I know who wrote the GLIST. Like, you seem to have no question in your mind.
It was actually, when the GLIST first came about, I really thought it was Sue. I thought it was another one of Sue's ploys. But then when they were in the room, somehow I just, looking around at everybody, I kind of figured it out.
Ed, did you figure out who wrote the GLIST before they said it was Quinn?
I knew who it was just by the episode title. When my friend Julia was like, this episode was called Bad Reputation. I was like, so then the first thing I said was, so it's about Quinn, right? And she was like, yeah. I was like, owned.
And so Quinn said that she did it because she felt that having a bad reputation was better than having no reputation at all. The scene where Quinn and Will at the end of the episode, he kind of, you know, said it wasn't that people got out of your way, it's that you moved them. I thought that was a really touching scene, and it was, you know, I don't know that you can get a lot from Quinn's character right now with the pregnancy and everything. She's either got to be, you know, evil or motherly. But it is nice to see some nice things from her, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to see her. You see her again. I mean, she was so looked over for the last couple of weeks. And she's a good actress. She's very understated.
She is. Ed, how do you feel about Quinn's movement from evil to being more motherly and sympathetic?
Much like Will, without the evilness, I don't even care anymore. I mean it's good that she's like this, but
it won't
last. As a person who enjoys evil characters, Quinn just isn't doing it for me anymore. Like, even the Gliss was just a feeble attempt at. It wasn't even an attempt. It was like, I'll just do something.
Well, we got an email from listener April this morning, and they had said, or she, I'm going to assume, she had said that this half of the season is a hot mess with a lot of nothing going on. And I get the sense when I listen to you, Ed, that you might agree with that, that it seems like there's just not enough drama.
I disagree with that. There's a lot going on. It just, the characters that I once loved just aren't the characters that I love anymore. You talk to me volume one, I was all about Rachel Finn, but now you talk to me volume two, it's like Brittany, Santana, Kurt, I've just evolved my love and Sue throughout, but it's just the characters that were interesting can't continue to be interesting otherwise they wouldn't be it would almost be too ridiculous if they were still as crazy as they always were.
Well, one thing that I really did like about the Glist, and before we move on, what I really thought it was cool, it gave us that cool Mr. Schuster Law and Order interrogation sequence.
Oh, yeah, that was really clever. That was sweet.
One of the things the show has kind of lost for me is its ability to kind of become self-aware and satirize other things. And I think we got a bit more of that in the first nine rather than this back section. It was cool to have that back, and it was fun to see Mr. Schuster kind of be a badass, or at least try, So one of the other plot of Bad Reputation took us into Artie and Kurt and Mercedes and a couple others. Who am I missing? Brittany and Tina trying to generate some bad reputations for themselves. Their first attempt was to make a ruckus in the library. All random things. That's where they performed You Can't Touch This.
I don't know where Kurt got the bright idea. That was like the worst thing you could do. Oh no, a ruckus.
Yeah, let's go make noise in the library. And Jennifer, you made the comment, that's a really small library.
It's the smallest library I've ever seen.
This must be a public school.
I didn't say that.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay.
It's my joke.
Okay.
I make the jokes that offend people. That's my joke.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and take a listen to You Can't Touch This with Artie on vocals.
I told you, homeboy, can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know, can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Fresh new kicks and pants, you get it like that, now you know you wanna dance, so move out of your seat and get a fly girl and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on, pop a little bit and let them know what's going on like that. Like that, cold on a mission, so fall on back. Let them know that you're too much, and this is a beat, you can't touch. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song or rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know you talk about the hammer.
So totally another piece of random 90s music trivia. When this song was really big, I asked my parents for the record for my birthday, and they went out and they got me MC Hammer's first record that does not include this song and did not understand the difference. So anyway, Jennifer, you made the comment that you've read an article or an interview with Kevin McHale where he said Artie is a bit more street than he is.
Yes, absolutely.
What were you saying, Ed?
I said, I bet you saw that. I don't know if they didn't, because I was reading that too. We need to stop checking out the same gossip blog. You've got me addicted to that, Jen. I'm not going to lie.
It's pretty addictive. Sorry.
Oh, no, they didn't is the best gossip blog ever, because for the most part, it's not that mean.
Well, it can be.
It can be.
But the thing that I like is that it's it's people posting from all over, so it's not just, you know, all the same stuff that you see on TMZ. It's from other sites, too.
And it has a very international crowd.
It has a very international... But, yeah. And they do production stuff, too. It's not just all dishing and car wrecks and so forth.
So totally off topic. So yes, we had Artie and the guys trying to make a ruckus in the library. This was a ruckus. I loved the jackets that they wore in this number. That killed me.
The pants were crazy too.
I mean, the pants were hilarious.
Total Hammer pants.
So they turned around from this, and what was their next ploy after this? I guess it was trying to take responsibility for posting Sue's Let's Get Physical video.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And nothing really seemed to be working for them. I guess it's kind of impossible to make them into bad boys. But we did get the great quote from... we got the great quote from Brittany. They said, "What are you doing in this room?" And she said, "I've been here since first period, had a cold, took all of my antibiotics at the same time, and now I can't remember how to leave." So I guess there's not much to say about that particular plot line. It had some potential, but they didn't really do a lot with it, you know, beyond the guys, beyond the kids trying to make trouble and just being unsuccessful at it. Did you feel a little let down from this particular plot line, Ed?
No. It's kind of like Scooby-Doo. Where Velma's really the one doing all the work, but you're entertained by Scooby and Shaggy attempting to do work. So they were kind of Scooby and Shaggy.
Okay.
Well, this all came out of, let's see, we started off the episode with Sue Sylvester's video of Let's Get Physical being posted on the internet and garnishing a whole bunch of hits. I think she said it topped 3 million at one point.
Yeah.
And it was a video that Kurt stole from her private locker. Apparently, she likes to record herself doing her classic jazzercise moves.
Who doesn't?
You know,
I know I do.
It's not surprising to me at all that Sue would be an avid jazzerciser. Mm-hmm. Do they still do jazzercise? I don't even know.
I think there are some clubs that every now and then try to resurrect it, but they just go back to the basics.
Ed, did you miss jazzercise? Is that before your time?
I'm not entirely sure what jazzercising is.
Jennifer,
shall we define jazzercise for Ed?
You go right ahead.
It's before my time.
Well, you watched your mom do it for like years.
It's just like dance aerobics, right?
Aerobics, but yes, they called it jazzercise to make it more fun, and it was supposed to have more dance steps involved, and you had the requisite matching leotard, leggings.
I think
it'd
be better if it was
leg
called
warmers.
Jazz hands or size.
Nice. I would say that it was probably murdered by Sweatin' of the Oldies. I think that probably killed jazzercise.
I think the name dropped off before then. Mm. I think Jane Fonda kind of overdid it for everybody.
You will, though. I'll find a, like, we're driving through Pasadena, and I know there's a jazzercise building in Pasadena, mm-hmm. the big giant jazzercise sign over it, and I just kind of flash at it and be like, 1986, and it just pops.
Yeah, it might even be earlier.
So they posted her Let's Get Physical video on the internet and made her the laughingstock of the school, and we got a bit of Molly Shannon in the episode. She really had nothing to do except to laugh at Sue Sylvester.
And hit on Will.
It was odd to see Molly Shannon. I really like her. I've liked her since SNL. But she was just kind of randomly there with no fanfare.
Well, I mean, she was there to sort of highlight the lowest points of these people's lives.
Yeah. Do you know Molly Shannon, Ed? Do you have a history with her?
No, but it was hilarious that she was from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I raffled.
Well, she used to be on SNL.
Yes.
Okay.
She was Superstar Girl.
Superstar.
She was Mary something Gallagher.
You know, I saw that movie.
Mary Elizabeth Gallagher or something.
I have a beef with SNL. I feel like there's no strong regular females anymore on SNL.
Well, not at the moment. But yeah, hang on. We're going to wait for these sirens to pass. Yes. So anyway, so Sue Sylvester ended up getting a phone call from Olivia Newton-John to do a new version of Let's Get Physical, which became very successful. I believe her line was, Sue Sylvester is a top 700 recording artist. Booyah. The Let's Get Physical remake was kind of hilarious. I don't know. What did you think, Jennifer?
Oh my God, those guys working out were crazy. Did you see them do push-ups and leapfrog each other?
It was pretty bizarre.
That was amazing.
But it seemed kind of random. To me, the whole plot line of Sue Sylvester just didn't really gel with the rest of the episode. I mean, it certainly didn't. I guess it kind of fit the bad reputation
thing. It fit the bad reputation thing, but it's... I feel like Glee has just gotten to the point where they're just trying to come up with excuses for Sue Sylvester to make music videos. I feel like that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it was a little too close. This and Vogue were much too close together for that.
Yeah, I agree.
And Olivia Newton-John was just kind of a random cameo, kind of out of nowhere. First famous person to play themselves, actually.
No, Josh Groban, hello.
Oh, you're right, Josh Groban.
I'm going to hit you over the head with his Critics' Choice Award.
Okay, Sandy. Oh, we saw Sandy last night.
Yeah,
well, I know. Oh, my God, I died. I watched Run, Joey, Run like 20 times.
It was...
What'd you say?
It was so funny because I saw his name in the credits and I knew your head was down. And I was like, and I slapped you and you're like, what? I'm like, nothing, you'll see.
Well, before we move on to that, let's go ahead and listen to Physical with Sue Sylvester and Olivia Newton-John. It was pretty much a spot on re-recording. So I'm not really sure, except that they had a lot more auto-tune in it to kind of give it a modern flair. Here's a bit of Physical. Just right, you know what I mean. I took you to an intimate restaurant, then to a suggestive movie. There's nothing left to talk about, less it's horizontally. Let's get physical, physical. Olivia Newton-John kind of played a funny satire of herself, almost in the way that Josh Groban kind of played a satire of himself,
charities she was working for.
Yeah, she had random charities. She kept stating her own resume at times and just dropping it in. You know, when I recorded the video for Physical, which was one of the first music videos, by the way, she was very clever in that. Do you remember the original Physical music video, Jennifer?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it was so bad.
It was so bad.
Have you seen that one, Ed?
I believe I have, but I don't understand what the point of the auto-tune was, to be honest, in this version of it.
I think they were just trying to update it, you know, make it more kind of modern radio. I don't know. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can destroy that machine, but it does seem to be kind of a crutch for doing quick recordings and making things sound fancy and new, like Lil Wayne. So,
oh my God, I didn't realize how picture perfect this video was. It's almost the same. Continue.
You're watching the original.
Yeah, I'm watching the original right now.
So we also had the bad reputations of Rachel and her attempt to become musically promiscuous, which I thought was a hilarious concept. And she recorded a music video for Run, Joey, Run. You know, I think this is the first time there's been a song on Glee that I didn't really know. I'm sure I've heard Run, Joey, Run before. I knew the name. Jennifer, was this a song that you were familiar with, Run, Joey, Run?
No, I'm sorry. It was a little before my time, I think.
Ed, had you ever heard that before?
To be 100% honest, no. But that does not mean I did not enjoy it.
Well, it was recorded by David Geddes, and I have up the Wikipedia page now. David Geddes, whose actual name is David Cole Adema. It was a U.S. top five hit in 1975. Peaked at number four, and David Geddes never really had another hit. So there's not, I mean, it doesn't even have, the song itself doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. I honestly was not familiar with it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a lot of them around that time, you know, like Ode to Billy Joe.
Yeah, there were a lot of story songs in the mid-70s.
But I don't, again, I probably have heard it, but didn't sound familiar.
I'm curious.
It was fun to watch, though.
To the listeners, like, I'm curious if you guys knew this song, Run Joey Run, because it was definitely a new one for me. And they did the hilarious music video, which, Ed, you're a bit obsessed with, the sense I get.
It's amazing. Like, it's a film experience.
it is pretty funny. I mean, the whole thing at the end where she smiles at the camera and it says Fiend. Go ahead.
The best part is the opening sequence with Brittany and Santana. That is the I don't know if it's the best part, but that's the part that got me hooked initially. I was like, oh my god, Brittany, Santana.
Well, and in the video, Puck is so passionate. Like, he's really trying to give it all to the camera while he's singing in that.
And he's lying on the bed.
Yeah.
The only person that seems out of place between
Yes.
I totally talked over you.
That's okay, go ahead.
What are you saying, Ed?
The only person that seems completely out of place was Jesse. Puck and Finn are both, they both felt right. But Jesse, during his part, it didn't feel right. I don't know why.
Yeah, when he was trying to walk strong.
Oh, yeah. He
was a little too balletic.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
And he has such happy eyes. It's really hard to see him mad, you know?
That's true. I struggle to actually picture Jesse in Spring Awakening, because that's such a somber show. Oh, and God. I can't picture Jesse being anything other than smiley. He's got such a bright face.
Well, maybe because that's his persona, at least so far in the show. He's always so easy breezy. Everything's good. You know, everything's simple for him. He's great. Perfect at whatever he tries.
We got a resurgence of Puckleberry. It was definitely funny to see them back together, Rachel and Puck. Puck said, Jesse will never know what it's truly like to be a Jew, being his rationalization. Ed, what did you think about having Puckleberry back together in this episode?
Well, it didn't even matter, because I knew it was just going to be like an episode thing. So I was just like, whatever. But I did come to the realization the other day that somehow that Glee is just a big Tom Sawyer reference. Somehow. Because oh my god, I don't even remember how I thought of this. Okay, let me get back to that. Continue.
Well, you have Finn and you have Puck, which kind of sounds like...
Yeah, Finn. Finn. What's Finn's last name? Because I can't think of it right now.
Hudson?
Oh, Fitz on the Hudson River.
Interesting.
See, and I had this breakthrough like a couple days ago. I was like, oh my god. And then Rachel Berry, I don't know, it all made sense when I in possibly a drunken state.
Well,
so I need to rethink this out.
In possibly a drunken state.
I like that little disclaimer.
Well,
thanks,
they definitely have wacky names. I mean, we've kind of discussed this before. You know, Finn, Puck, Quinn. These are not common names for people. The more common ones seem to be the characters that they added later on in the creative process. You know, like Kurt. That was kind of the last one to come along. So it's just interesting that they all have such bizarre names. Maybe you're onto something. If you put an essay together, and we'll discuss.
I know. I need to contact Overthinking it for
there
real.
You go. Get them involved. So let's go ahead and take a listen to. Sorry, I hit Jennifer's microphone. Let's go ahead and take a listen to "Run Joey Run," originally performed and written by Steve Geddes. And I guess this is Rachel and all the guys seem to be involved in this one in some way. So. Here we go. Please don't, it wasn't his fault. He means so much to me. Daddy, please don't, we're gonna get married. Just you wait and see. Every night, the same old dream. I hate to close my eyes. I can't erase the memory, the sound of Julie's cry. She called me up late that night and she said, Joe, don't come over. My dad and I just had a fight and he stormed out the door. I've never seen him act this way. My God, he's going crazy. He said he's gonna make you pay for what we've done. I did listen to the original today, and because I thought, you know, they probably musical theater-fied it up a little bit for Rachel, for that character, and it's almost exactly like the original. The only difference is that the female voice in the original seriously sounds like a 5-year-old boy. Like, it's kind of I had to really pay attention to the lyrics to be like, okay, that's supposed to be a girl. Okay, it kind of makes sense. It's very confusing. So the other big plot line we had this week was, of course, Will and Emma. Emma trying to bring back... What, I'm sorry, I missed something?
Oh, did you want to discuss Rachel betraying three men?
Oh, yeah, I guess we could discuss...
She was just musically promiscuous. She didn't actually do anything, though.
Yeah, the reason why is because I'm kind of confused by some of their reaction.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely see Jesse getting upset because she probably, like, he felt that, you know, this was their vehicle together, and she was performing with two other guys that now he's finding out she had relationships with. Finn was probably upset because I can imagine, because he thought that maybe this was, you know, an actual start of them getting back together. Puck, I'm not really understanding. I mean, Puck got his screen time. He got to sing. I don't understand why Puck is so upset.
The whole thing didn't really gel for me. I kind of felt the same way. Like, it seemed obvious that Jesse would in some way take this personally, but I didn't really get what Finn and Puck were so angry about at this point in the evolution of these characters.
Well, because we only saw her talking Puck into the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know what she said to Finn. I mean, I doubt...
But we imagine it's probably something around the same lines.
Exactly. But also because of his feelings for her, I'm sure their conversation entailed a bit more than, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't truly understand you because he's not Jewish or whatever he said. But yeah, I don't know. I was a little... It just seemed awfully convenient for everybody to turn their backs on her.
You're right, you know, and even watching it, I was as surprised as anyone to start seeing other men in the video besides Puck.
I kept looking at you. I'm like, am I missing something?
Yeah, like is
did it, you it, skip a chapter?
It seems like there were two other scenes that were just totally cut out of the show. I mean, I guess the concept was that everybody was ticked off because they thought they were the star in the video and that it was somehow emotionally symbolic, and then it turns out that, you know, none of them were the star in the video, and then that's somehow emotionally metaphoric for the fact that she can't choose one. The whole thing was just very... I didn't buy that at all. Thank you for remembering that. Ed, how did you feel about all that stuff?
I don't really understand why everyone was so upset, to be honest, as you were saying. I mean, I would be upset, but I don't know. These men are so emotionally fragile. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Jesse getting upset, but not, you know, breaking things off with her upset.
I don't understand why... Well, see...
Unless
Finn
they didn't know about the
Jesse
other two guys.
Jesse stormed out, but Puck didn't storm out. So I guess it sort of makes sense. Puck wasn't that upset.
Well, Jesse stormed out at the end, though. I mean, once we got to the last number when she did Total Eclipse of the Heart, then I was even more confused because now the entire Glee Club is for some reason mad at her. And they all walk out on her, including Jesse.
No one really like. They just pretend to like Rachel because she has a good voice, but.
Title. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe this was just, mm-hmm. maybe they're just fed up with more of her self-serving antics.
Yeah, more drama from Rachel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you guys have
Couldn't
both
have
a
sweater.
Yeah, she does have a penchant for wearing sweaters with animals on it.
Scary.
She wears that sweater with the big yellow knitted bow on it that's actually knitted into the sweater. She wears that on the show. And she's worn it in, like, tons of press. And I even think I saw a picture of Lea Michele just wearing it on the street. I mean, maybe that's just her sweater.
Maybe she likes it. There's. I want to point out, with Emma's clothes, she was wearing a telephone brooch today.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that's a slight nod to Miss Gaga and Beyonce.
But did you look closely at the cord for it? It was actually coiled into the word hello. And I'm like, why didn't she wear that brooch 2 weeks ago?
I didn't even see this. When? What scene was that in?
Oh, well, we'll get to it when she's telling off Will.
Well, let's get right into it. So Sue Sylvester decides that she is going to empower Emma and convinces Emma to go in and tear into Will and call him a slut, which it was... In that way, I thought it's so rare that a television show, one of the characters says exactly what you've been thinking for weeks. Like, it's a big victory.
Yeah.
But I don't understand this. He didn't actually sleep with anybody. And somehow Sue Sylvester, who put baby monitors in in his house, is the innocent one. I just want to point this out. Okay.
Yeah, well, when you're talking about emotions, little stuff like that gets overlooked. That's just details. Yeah. He never denied it. And I mean, the fact is, even if April didn't sleep over, he did, you know, make out with what's her face? And I forget the character's name. Idina Menzel's character. I forget
Shelby.
Shelby. And I mean, that's got to be very hurtful for Emma, especially because they haven't consummated their relationship because of her issues, which she's trying to address. And here he is going off making out with other women. So,
well, and, you know, they haven't consummated their relationship because he said, hey, let's just take a break so I can go find myself. And he just runs off and starts
the same old,
you know, hooking up
with
other chicks. Yeah, it was a little weird that she says, and you slept with April. And rather than saying, I didn't sleep with April, he said, how did you know that? So I don't know if the show is supposed to be telling us that he had sex with April or that he's just interpreting it as we slept in the same bed. Yeah. That was a little vague.
I think he was probably just stunned by the fact that she had any of that information, that he didn't have the opportunity to get around with the fact that they didn't have sex. But in fact, they did sleep next to each other.
It was interesting to see Emma kind of empowered. And then at the end, when Will goes to apologize and she says, I know I'm supposed to, you know, look at you and say thank you. I'm glad you said that, but I'm not going to. I'm still hurt. Mm-hmm. I assume they'll make up, but it was felt kind of real in that way where it does take time to heal. And Ed, how did you feel about the more empowered Emma this week?
It was, I don't know. It's not right. It's not fair. But I want to like her with this personality. But until there's a large musical number associated with it, I don't know if I can believe it.
Well, you make a very valid point. We have another fire truck passing outside. It's warm in the valley today, and there's always more fire trucks when it's warm in the valley.
I do think that she... I like her wardrobe when she's pissed off.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's much more contemporary.
She hasn't worn pastels like in the past 2 weeks. I was like, where's your... I missed the pastels.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then there was no knit sweater. This was, you know, just a top.
She's gonna show up in 2 weeks in like full leather from head to toe. with a faux hawk or something. It's gonna be crazy.
Gonna be like the Sandy transformation in Grease.
Totally. I mean, if they hadn't already used that joke, it would be perfect to see Emma make that transformation.
It would still be funny. It would still be funny. I want to see it.
It will be interesting to see. I mean, at some point, Will and Emma are going to do the nasty, and it will be interesting to see how that's handled on this show, and how far they're willing to take Emma's character out of being OCD. I mean, as far as I understand, OCD takes years to heal, but on television, you usually don't take years to heal those types of things. It just takes a week or two. So we'll see how much progress she's able to make. They had one more song in that episode. They had a Total Eclipse of the Heart, as performed by Lea Michele featuring Jonathan Groff. We also have this song being written by Jim Steinman and originally, I don't remember now. I'm forgetting who originally recorded this song.
Bonnie Tyler.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm like, save me.
Sorry.
Bonnie Tyler, of course. Let's hear it for the boy. So let's go ahead and do a Total Eclipse of the Heart. Here we go.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. You tips of the heart.
I can't hear this song without thinking of the Dan Band. Like, whenever they get to the hook, and I'm like, oh, they missed an F word. So that's pretty much it as far as discussing this episode. Did we make a big enough deal about Stephen Tobolowsky? Because I thought that was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
I wanted that video to be longer.
Just for more Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah.
Yeah, just add another verse, just about the dad. We just want another verse about him.
Well, those songs are usually like a good 5 or 7 minutes long, yeah. So I'm kind of surprised it wasn't longer.
I guess if that's all we have, you know, Ed, you wanted to award some contest winners. So, Ed, do you want to tell us who were the best two people to enter the contest? Actually, we should say what the contest was first.
First, I want to preface. I feel like I would have cried during Total Eclipse of the Heart because it had all the makings of crying. It had Finn and Puck and Jesse and Rachel, and it was like a counterpoint, and it had all the makings of me crying, but I don't care about Rachel's feelings anymore because she's a self-serving person. So that otherwise, I think I would have cried. So I just want to point that out. Like, it was so close. It's like this is all the workings of this is like Cobra Starship. There's all the right workings, but it just doesn't fit in the whole exactly. Okay,
that's exactly how I feel about Cobra Starship.
The contest was we wanted you to send in a song and a scenario for the song that could be performed on Glee. And we had quite a few entries, and it was very difficult to choose the best two. I'm gonna send you both emails and then hopefully get your addresses so we can get that worked out. The first one is from Nino, who chose Reflection for Kurt when being replaced by Finn as like his son, as Bert Hummel's son. And like, who is that son I see staring straight back at me? And I imagine it is a very deeply emotional connection. And I can imagine me crying. So I really appreciated that. And the other one was an Emma song. It's from Kathleen. The scenario was Emma. One of my Sue Sylvester. Emma and Jesse are having sex, and the song is "Touch Me" from Rocky Horror. And I thought it was quite like I chose these because they were the most original, and they were outside of the box, but just enough so they fit within the Glee universe. And I could totally see both these songs happening. So congratulations, Nino and Kathleen. You'll be receiving emails soon.
So Emma and Jesse?
Yes, Emma and Jesse.
Wow.
It's a bit of a stretch, but I appreciated the attempt at something that was different.
Well, I like that Kathleen's email is entitled "Contrast Entry That Will Hopefully Not Get Aired."
I try to not hold that against her. I'm like, don't be so humble. You were great.
Well, thank you so much to everybody who has submitted entries for the contest, and we'll figure that stuff out. And if you'd like to weigh in on our topic this week, which I guess is what songs do you think have a bad reputation that is that should be saved, and let us know what your opinions are on that one. You can email those to gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com, and that's all kinds of excitingness. And did you want to thank any iTunes reviewers this week?
Yes, John Orlando, the person that is Nada, OM Glee Jazz Hands, great name by the way. ADW0125, Acoustic Rocker 8, Subnit, the number one Gleek, Nanners Rocks. We have lots of reviews. Hold on. And then OM Glee L. I also like your name. K. Crosby. Oh My Gossip Girl. Tib. Crazy One. Sergi 89. JMW. Red Panther. Mikhail. YBT. Crazy Insano, the major one. I think we're up to date now.
And definitely to all the people that sent us emails, listener April, Sarah, Becca, Allie, Junbee, John, Jen, Michael. We get a ton of emails, so if I don't mention you, and I'm still trying to respond to all of them, so if you haven't heard from us yet, I apologize for that, but we're getting there. Listener Nicole, listener Rachel, who her suggestion for the, I don't think it was a contest entry, but her suggestion for a song to perform on the show was Everybody Run, the Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun, which would be genius.
That would be really funny. Like Quinn kind of snaps right before she goes into labor and like starts like.
It needs to be Santana. I need more Santana, Britney action. I'm sick of getting the runaround from you, Ryan Murphy. Just give it to me.
But it's time for Santana to have a solo. I think it's time. And we did read that they're going to be upgraded to cast members,
yes,
Santana and
did.
Britney. So that's going to be awesome for them. So, yes, and on a totally unrelated note, I'm told that there are naughty pictures of Heather Morris on the internet. So anyway.
Artistic.
Artistically naughty?
Yes, artistic
awesome.
Notes.
That's pretty much it for me. Jennifer, you got anything else?
I'm good.
Ed, anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Oh, OMG Jazz Hands. Are we leaving?
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we're done.
Okay. OMG Jazz Hands, peace out.
For the Gleeville Podcast, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I just did it.
Yeah, oh. You did. See you
next week, everybody.
Bye. You better gain weight. You better hit the bullseye. The kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves. In the Vegas all pumping, quick to the point, no faking. Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon, burning them if you ain't quick and nimble. I go crazy when I hear a cymbal and a hi-hat with a souped-up tempo. I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo. Rolling in my 5.0 with my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waving just to say hi. Did you stop? No, I just drove by, kept on.